In Genesis 22, we're finishing our series on Abraham today, and I'm going to pray before we start this text. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your good word. Thank you today, Lord, that we can continue to look at Abraham, and I pray, Lord, that today we'll really be challenged by this passage, and that you will use this good word to grow us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I'm going to switch mics just so you know at the back desk. All right, I want to kick off today with a quick quiz. And this is one that everyone in the room can take. This has not been verified. This has not been put through any rigor at all. They're just questions I made up. But we're going to do this quiz together. Just keep the answers in your head, add them up, and I really want to test your devotion to God today. Right? That's what we're going to do. Devotion to God and devotion to one another. So let's run the quick test. So how often do you read the Bible? Right? So one is, well, never. You know, two, sometimes. Three, most weeks I read the Bible. Four, most days. Five, every day. Right? So that's the scale. That's how it works. So how often do you read the Bible? How often do you pray? Right. I'll just give a bit more time for the mathematically challenged. All right. How regularly do you attend church? How often do you read the Bible with others? This might be a growth group, for instance, or reading one-to-one. How often do you sit down with someone else and read the Bible? Hopefully you're adding them up. Anyway, we'll see. And then how much do you give to church or charity? Right, kind of when you think about giving, how does that work for you? There's lots of maths now. I apologise for those of you who don't enjoy maths. All right. How often do you bring someone to hear about Jesus? Whether that's sharing with them personally or bringing them to somewhere where they can hear about Jesus? Well, coming back. And how do you serve others at church? So think about how you serve. Okay. So again, as I said, what I'm trying to measure is a rough guide of devotion to God and your devotion to one another. Wherever you land on this scale, by the way, my goal's the same. I want to see you come to Christ and grow in Christ, right, wherever you land. So I don't care if you've got a 5 or a 35, it doesn't really matter. I want to see you grow wherever you may be. But anyway, here's my suggestion for your kind of next step. If you mostly scored in that lower range, the kind of 1s to 3s, then I want to suggest to you the best thing you can do, the best thing you can do with your life, keep coming to church, keep learning about Jesus, and then on February the 11th, when I start our 5-week Discover course, I'd love you to come along. Our Old Tower of Treats course was basically 5 courses of dessert in one afternoon. I've now turned that into 5 weeks of dessert, right? So 5 weeks of dessert and learning about Jesus over those 5 weeks. So if you're someone who doesn't understand how much God loves you, or if that love of God doesn't drive you to love others and serve others, then Discover is for you. Right? If that's where you land, Discover is for you. Now, if you're in that 20 to 23 range, then I'd suggest probably the next step for you is our Members and Partners course. That's the course where you can think about whether this is my church. Am I committed to serving here? Am I committed to seeing others grow around me? I've currently got that scheduled for March 30, but we might do an earlier one if there's enough people interested in doing that. But if you are ready to grow, if you need encouragement, you need to be reminded of God's great vision for you and to see your part as a co-worker in the building up of God's kingdom, then that's for you. If you're in that 24 to 28 range, I'd love you to consider serving in a team, not just filling out a roster, but actually taking responsibility for something, taking an area of ministry and watching it grow. And of course, if you're in that 29 to 35 range, then I would want you to test your own character and see, does my Christian character match my convictions? Am I humble, submissive, servant-hearted, loving? Am I passionate to see gospel growth? And if so, then I'd say you ought to be a partner here or go to Bible college or go on the mission field, because we need to send people out as well who are passionate. Now, friends, I say all this because what does God want from you? He wants your total devotion. That's what he wants, your total devotion. He wants your time, your energy, your money, your love, your everything. He doesn't need it. He's not needy. It's not like, oh, without Jim's help, I can't do things. There's nothing like that. But he wants everything. And friends, everything we do here is about making disciples of Jesus Christ and watching them grow. And that's what I want for you. I want you to devote yourself to the God who has devoted himself to you. I want you to give him everything. Because as we saw in today's reading, he asks for nothing less. So Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. You want me to do what? That's shocking, isn't it? Absolutely shocking. When Abraham was a mere 75 years old, God promised him a son, which of course seemed ridiculous. He's 75. Abraham and his wife were both childless. They're past the age of bearing children. And God promised him a son. And then after 25 years, Abraham's 100, his wife's 90. God gives them a son. He gives them Isaac. This child of promise, the child through whom all nations would be blessed. And then God says, take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, surely God wouldn't do that, right? Surely God wouldn't ask that. And if you think that, well, you'd be right. In Jeremiah 32, we see that the idea of child sacrifice is abhorrent to God. He abhors it. He will never ask us to do that. And yet, he did ask Abraham. Why? Well, we're actually told back in verse 1 to test him. God wanted to test Abraham's devotion. Now, this is impossible, isn't it? This is total devotion. I doubt there is a person in this room who would do this. We may have our moments when we feel like it, but I doubt there is a person in the room who could do this. Yes, I'm looking at you, Matthew. That was a joke. It's okay. Yet, this is exactly what God did for us, isn't it? When God gave his son, this was his level of devotion to us. Jesus carried the wood. Jesus willingly climbed on that altar of the cross to be sacrificed. God loved us so much, he devoted himself to us so much, he sent his son to die so that we could have peace with him. I wonder how much you just comprehend that. God's love for you, so devoted to you that he did the very thing for you and for me that he asked Abraham to do. It's no surprise when Jesus was asked what's the most important command, he said, listen, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. See, what does God want from you? He wants you to love him with the same deep devotion that he showed us when he sent Jesus into the world to bear our sin. Not just wholehearted, that's not big enough. Whole-souled, whole-minded, whole-strength devotion. And he wants us to love one another as we love ourselves. So how are we going at that? How are we going as a church at this kind of whole everything devotion to God? Over the last year, we have experienced that most wonderful problem of a church to have, growth. Right? We've grown by about 25% over the last year. So the morning service has grown by 24%, the evening service by 40%, and because the evening service is much smaller, that adds up to 25%. Right? So about a 25% growth. But our growth engine has not been able to keep up. And so most of the adults and youth in our church, right, most of the adults and youth in our church are not serving in any way. Most are not in any growth group. Most are not giving, or they're giving less than they would spend on coffee in a week. Most are not inviting their friends to evangelistic opportunities. Only about a third of our members who came in November came to four or more services. Of the 85 adults and youth who've joined us in the last 2 years, who are still attending, so 85 who are still attending, only five of them are members of a growth group and serving. See, our growth engine hasn't been able to keep up, has it? We haven't been able to help people to grow. Now, why does this matter? This matters because I'm not talking about numbers, am I? I'm talking about people. I'm talking about you. The things we do at church are designed to help you come to Christ and grow in Him. And frankly, we're not keeping up. To state the bleeding obvious, you will have a far richer, more meaningful life if you devote yourself to Christ. This is good for you. There is nothing else in the world that will give you as rich a life as devoting yourself to Christ. And friends, in terms of skin in the game, just as a personal reflection, 2:30 this morning, I'm up because I'm wrestling with this and I've got the laptop open taking notes. But this, I don't just do this as a job. I do this because I want to see you grow in Christ. I didn't need a job. I already had a job before I went into ministry. I'm here because I want to see you grow. And friends, I think that has to be the main focus for our ministry team this year, helping people grow. So this year, I need to recruit a whole bunch of leaders. I need leaders for our Discover course. I need leaders to run a growth group, especially designed for people who come and do our Discover course. I need leaders for adult growth groups. And friends, as I raise up leaders, then those leaders are leaving holes that need to be filled by more. So I'm perpetually in a point where I need to raise up leaders. And friends, I am here to pour myself out to grow you as a disciple. I want you to be mature. And if someone in this room today, if you are cut by this as much as I am cut by this, then I invite you to partner with me. I need passionate people to help me grow disciples of Christ. And if that means I need to take you off a roster, if that means something falls over so that we can grow more passionate disciples of Jesus Christ, then I'm happy to do that. But let me talk about giving, just as one example to demonstrate the challenges before us. Over the last few years, we've kind of struggled to make budget, which is no surprise to anyone. But what that's led to us doing is creating minimal budgets. And what I mean by that is every year we've kind of kept expenses as tight as possible. We've just tried to, what's the bare minimum we can do? And we tried to match giving to that budget. But that's been our pattern for a decade now. But that has created a problem. See, despite growing 25% in numbers this year, our giving has remained stagnant. Our giving has, for the whole year, been between that $31,000 and $37,000. And half of that giving comes from 14 families. The data from the most healthy churches tells me that around healthy giving is around 5% of average weekly income. Friends, we are a long way from that. And then I thought, well, maybe there's mortgage stress, right? Where we live, lots of people have mortgages. So I compared our data to Oran Park. And I can tell you that in Oran Park, their giving is 25% higher per family, per single than ours. And their mortgage stress is higher than ours as well. So it's not just that. And even if I ignore this data, if I just multiply our growth by the average rise in weekly income divided by the average rise in cost of living, then that tells me our giving is about $100,000 a year less than it should be. And that's reflected in our staff team. Our staff to congregation ratio is too low. Based on our current ratios, we're one full-time member short. But I suspect that's an item for the 2026 budget. But from now, I want to raise up disciples and raise up leaders. I need you to grow. I need you to be deep in the Word. I need you to love God. I need you to be in community, loving one another. I need you to be serving one another. And I need you to be on mission. And for that, I need the Spirit of God to convict you of the need for a wholehearted, whole-souled, whole-minded, whole-strength devotion to God. I need you, like Abraham, to walk up that hill with everything that is precious to you and to give it to God. I need you to trust Him with your time, your money, your family. I need you to give Him everything. I need you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I need you to love your neighbor as yourself. That's verses 1 and 2. Let's talk about costly love. Because in verse 3, Abraham sets out to do the things he was told to do. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Can you imagine how stomach-churning this moment would be? I've been told to sacrifice my son, whom I love, and God says to me, that mountain, that's the place. I think if I was Abraham, I'd be kind of hoping that we just walk forever. But verse 5, then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship, then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, my father. And he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the wood and the fire are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them walked on together. It's an interesting line from Abraham, isn't it? God himself will provide. What was Abraham doing in that moment? We're not told, right? Was he just dodging the question? Was he just asking, son, I don't really want to talk about that. Yeah, God will sort that out. Or was he confident that God would do something? Was he confident that God would provide in that moment? Well, in verse 9, they arrive. And Abraham built the altar, arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, here I am. Then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. I'm sure Isaac would have needed counseling after that. But friends, I want to say God will never demand anything wicked from you. He does test us. The Christian life is not easy. It is costly. It means trusting Him with everything that is dear to you. And I want you to seriously consider that. Because if you are going to devote yourself to God, it will be costly. It will cost your time, your energy, your money, your emotions. I'm not asking you to do something easy. I'm asking you to do something that's important, something worthwhile with your life. And then to trust that God will provide. And of course, in this passage, he does. From verse 13, Abraham looks up and finds the ram. So he sacrifices the ram. And I love that he says, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. I've had several kind of examples of this. I've had, you know, examples of ladies coming. I remember a lady here coming one time looking for groceries. So I took her down the Spring Farm, took her through Woolworths. We got her some groceries. I put petrol in a car and I'd spent everything in my own account. And I remember thinking, how am I going to buy my groceries now? But I don't know. And that week, someone brought a bag of groceries to my front door. Now, to put it in perspective, I think that's only happened once or twice I've been here. But that very week, someone delivered a bunch of groceries to my front door. God provides. He cares for us and he uses us to provide for one another, doesn't he? So let me encourage you, when you see a brother or sister in need, provide for them. That is part of how you devote yourself to God and to one another. And we see this in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. You will possess the city gates of their enemies, and the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command. And with all that, Abraham went home. Now, friends, as we've gone through this series on Abraham, I hope you've seen the highs and the lows of Abraham's faith. He has these moments like today where he's a man of great faith. And then he has these moments of great lows where he's pretty awful. And as we do that, I hope you've seen the highs and lows of your own faith, your own trust in God. But I hope through all of that, you've also seen the utter faithfulness of God. Through everything, God has been faithful. And that includes for us. Friends, God showed the greatest single act of devotion in history when he sent Jesus to that cross. For you. And by giving his son to die for our sin, God has provided the very means by which we can be his people, by which we can be brought together into his family, serving one another, being on mission, loving God, being deep in his word as his people. Friends, we should respond in costly love. That's how we should respond to God. And we should do so knowing that God himself will provide. Martin Luther King once said, if you've got nothing worth dying for, you've got nothing worth living for. And friends, that is so true. Jesus considered us worth dying for. I'm asking you to do the same. I'm asking you today to totally devote yourself to him. I'm going to pray now, and then I'm going to invite Caleb and Beatrice up, two of our mission team, who I'll explain in a moment, to share some of their stories of service in the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this word, this is a hard word. I pray, Lord, that you will help us see just how greatly you have devoted yourself to us. Help us to see how great is your love for us. Help us to see that in you we have everything, we lack nothing, so that we might pour ourselves out in your service, that we would love you with everything we have, and that we would love your people. And I pray that by so doing, you'll grow us to greater maturity, and grow us, Lord, to greater confidence in the hope that is ours in Christ. Amen.